I don't need electricity to ignite the exceedingly bright light emanating from within and without me, and I play my part in making it pervade everything daily. Because, see, I don't need electricity to ignite the exceedingly bright light emanating from within and without me, and I play my part in making it pervade everything daily. And when I feel the weight of the world on me, as I sit in the cradle of the three-quarter eaten moon, the eclipse tips and I am pitched forward towards this blackness which lacks this substance. Confront this forward propulsion towards expulsion from feeling. I'm reeling, careening into freedom from grieving the complete loss of believing. Retrieving my trajectory, that's my priority. And then, it's all just a free fall through night as I grab for starlight that slips through my fingers but lingers in streaks on my skin. Tears on my cheeks and my chin. Because starlight can burn when the moon turns her back. Because starlight can crackle like ice when the sunshine hides twice a century. But ask yourself, what is a century? Only an arbitrary measurement. So, I decide to use the night sky as my guide. The stars and planets are my abacus, and the moon and sun are my zero and one, but both fluid and interchanging, rearranging constantly. The kaleidoscopic clock I follow doesn't go tick, 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 or talk about yesterday, now, or tomorrow when I borrow my words from the sky. Because ask yourself, what is SKY? Only arbitrary lettering, just symbology. So, I decide to use the galaxy as my dictionary. I don't flip through pages, I backflip to Ursa Major, or I thumb through Jupiter and Pluto to find the terminology to make my meaning. See, I don't need things like vowels and consonants to make my sentences make sense. And guess what I think about sensuality? Because ask yourself, what is your idea of beauty? Only arbitrary. So, I decide to use the cosmology as my cosmetology. I bathe in soul-saving meteor showers for hours and hours on end. And then I do it all the fuck over again. And then I apply the Milky Way to my flesh, and I adorn my breasts with Saturn's moon rings, and I make my eyes sparkle with comets and quasars and stars and things, and my lips taste of burning beams of honeyed sun, and that kind of heat can't be bought with money or won. It's just something I worked out empirically, that you can choose your own reality. I've been reading up on my quantum physics, and the trick is, reality comes in infinitesimally thin slices, so my advice is choose your piece carefully. Because you don't need electricity to ignite the exceedingly bright light emanating from within and without you and everything you see. And you can play your part in making it pervade everything daily. Just ask yourself, what's your priority, really?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Papa. Okay, so I need your help on something. We're recording, so the show's already on.
Duh.
But I need your help with something, because we referenced a clip from Evita on the on Eat This Hut show, and I need to send it to Vera because she produces the show. Mm-hmm. And it's the and I don't know which clip. I can get it from iTunes if I knew which one it is, but it's the one that's like, I am only a simple woman, I come from a poor family, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm talking about?
You know, this is really sad, but Evita is just one of those shows I don't know that well.
What?
I know.
Oh, no, this is a catastrophe.
Don't cry for me, my Magina.
My God, that hurt my ears.
Truth is, I never watched it. I didn't see it that much.
that much, but you saw it, you heard it.
Yeah, like when I was little, like pre-Madonna, pre-everything.
God, how am I going to get this fucking clip to her?
I'll tell you. So you need to find what song it's in, or what?
Yeah, it's like, I am only a simple woman.
Hold on.
It's the one where she goes, Perón, 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 and it changes to Evita. Oh, maybe this is it. Requiem for Evita. Oh, what a circus.
That sounds perfect.
Okay, hang on. I have to play it. Oh.
But it goes, I am only a simple woman.
I don't know. Yeah, but how am I going to... Is this... Oh, it's iTunes Plus, so that means I can steal it. Okay, I think so.
What's iTunes Plus?
It means that you can... It means it's not copy protected. So some of
it's
their...
on album 2. Hold on,
yeah,
I
have it. I have it. Requiem for Evita, if that's the one. No.
No, I'll find it right now.
Wait, Requiem for Evita is not the same as...
The song is On the Balcony of the Casa Rosada 2.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm reading the lyrics. It goes, just listen
to
that.
Oh, you're awesome. Oh, you're awesome. I mean, I can't believe I said that.
Oh my God, this is that's the first time you've ever said anything. Whoa.
I know, that's why I stopped myself.
I feel like a hot feeling in my chest.
That's your period. What? Tell me the name of the song.
I think it's Love.
Tell me the name of the song.
On the Balcony of the Casa Rosada 2.
God, this is 2?
Yeah, it's disc 2, track 3.
Got it. But that's the Madonna fucking version. I don't want that.
Well...
I need the Perón, because it's all about... What's her face? Not Perón. What's that dumb cunt's name that went off on people? You know, the one that was in the original Broadway. You know who I'm talking about. She's just
this looks
it.
Like it's in the original Broadway version. It's not? Are you sure?
Well, there is, but it's not called... The one that's exactly called On the Balcony of the Casa Rosada 2 is from the Madonna. Wait a second. Oh, Jonathan Pryce. Yes, yes, yeah. There it is. Right below it, right? But
yeah.
But that's not an iTunes Plus.
Well...
Oy, Jesus H.
Go to Amazon.
No, that's one. Hold on. This is getting too exciting.
I know. I feel so weird that you like said I was awesome.
We need to forget that ever happened, okay?
No, because you know deep down that you love me.
Oh, my God.
My period's kicking like a mule. I've got like fucking... I'm giving birth to blood babies right now.
Took long enough.
I know. It's been like 6 days since I told you I had PMS, and it finally just started yesterday.
Okay, so there's... Where did you see the lyrics?
You told me some of the lyrics. I put them in quotation marks and Googled it along with the words Evita lyrics. It was really hard.
Okay, I'm just going to take the chance and download it because I think it's
It goes like this. Eva says, just listen to that. The voice of Argentina. We are adored. We are loved. Officer, statesmanship is more entertaining than peasants. Eva's sister, we shall see, little man. Proud.
That is so deep. So deep.
I don't think it's... I know, it's terrible.
Can you send me a link to the lyrics?
What do you want, the song or the lyrics?
Well, no, I want to know it's the right song because I don't want to listen to all 9 minutes of it, so I want the lyrics to make sure.
Oh, it's not, because it says here the song is 2 minutes, so let me look again.
Well, this one, the one that from the Broadway version is... No, because it wouldn't be 2, because she talks... I don't fucking know. Hang on.
Hold on.
This is going to be really boring for the audience. What else is new? Just for fucking Vera. Okay, it's downloading. Is it done? Purchased? Downloaded? Talk about something. We're not talking. Should we be talking?
Yeah, we should. I mean, I thought you were done, so...
I don't know where this... I thought I downloaded it, and now I don't know where the fucking thing went. Store... Check for available downloads. All purchases have been downloaded. Where the fuck is it then? I think it didn't give it to me.
In this version it says it's in... I can't believe people listen. It says it's on track 11, On the Balcony of the Casa Rosada /...
Yeah,
Don't Cry
yeah,
for
that's the one I'm trying to download, right. That's yeah. the one. But why can't it... It's not downloading, honey.
That I don't know. I'm not even there. I don't know.
Bob Gunton? Evita Highlights? I guess it's the same. Various Artists. 1979. Are you sure you want to buy it? Buy. It, Now it says it's purchasing. I think it's going to charge me twice for fucking one song because I'm in a hurry, motherfuckers.
No.
That's bullshit. You know what? You know that's bullshit, don't you?
Of course I do.
It's weird recording during the day, Rachel. Oh, my God. Guess what I just bought? You're not going to believe this.
Just tell me, and then I'll tell you stuff.
I'm going to let you hear it. You're not going to believe it. Listen.
Oh, it's a thing. Okay. Shut up.
Seriously.
Is it crystal?
No, this is a metal one.
You really got one?
Yeah, it was only $50.
Check this out, babe. Hold on.
The dog hates it.
Hey, guys.
Can you hear it? I need to stop.
Yeah. Please stop.
It has a really good sound for a cheapie.
Yeah, $50. It sounds great.
Okay, so anyway, okay, so here's the Casa Rosada. I'm going to unplug the headphones, so shut up for a second, because we're going to, otherwise you'll hear an echo. Well, you don't have to shut up, you never do anyway. Can you hear that?
Yes.
Is this it?
It sounds like it should be.
I don't think this is it. No, because that's where she says, I'm only... That's not the one. I'm talking about the one where there's the crowd and she's just... Fuck.
I was, like, feeling all excited to record with you, but now I have... Oops.
Oh, here it is, here it is. Yes. Yes, yes, that's it. Goody, goody gumdrops. Goody, goody gumdrops.
Oh, I'm so glad you're happy. Oh, really, that makes me happy.
That'll last. I'm really happy, actually, because I can give that to Vera right now. She's always in such a fucking hurry. You can't imagine. Like, she is the most A-type personality. And the worst part is she actually gets stuff done, and I really resent her for, like...
I know.
Because she actually has a career, because she gets stuff done while I'm this lady.
But, like, what do you mean by career, though?
She has a career. Like, professional voice acting career. It's a fucking great career. I can't be more specific, because they don't want to give away her identity, but it's a fucking awesome career.
Well, I know a lot of very successful female voice actors, too.
Yeah, do they, like, get stuff done, though, and, like... Oh, wait, why is my microphone on the couch? You didn't even tell me I can't hear you. You can't hear me.
It sounded fine.
Oh, it won't be...
Because they do get stuff done, because they don't even have to do shit. They don't even have to take a shower before they go into work. They just go record. It's great.
No, it is not that easy.
I have... Okay, trust me. I have friends that are fucking millionaire voiceover actors. It is disgusting.
Okay, you're going to get so beat up verbally by Vera. You're lucky she doesn't listen to my show when there's other
people. I don't really care, because it's true. Trust me, I'm not showing up. I wish I was them.
Why should I trust you? Because you're Jewish?
Yes.
Just tell me why I should trust you.
Because why would I lie? Why would I say that they didn't work hard if they did? Well, do I give a shit?
Oh, you say that you are saying they work hard. I thought you were saying
that. No, I'm saying... Why would I say that they did not have to work hard if they did have to work hard? Why would I say that?
They do have to work hard.
No, they don't. Trust me. I have two
friends. Why should I trust you? You're not a voice actor.
Because... Okay.
No, don't start that. You have to finish your shit. See, if you can't defend yourself, you can't just go all passive-aggressive and shit.
It's not. It's just I don't have any good reason why you should trust me. All I will say is that one of them is the voice of all of the women on a very popular cartoon that adults like with lots of cursing, and I'm not going to say what one it is. And her life is fucking fun all the time. All she does is have a great fucking time. And the other one does, like, 10 different fucking cartoons and bought herself, like, a diamond ring within, like, she's like, fuck, I'm not even going to wait for a man to put a ring on my finger anymore. Bought herself a house and a diamond ring in the first year she started doing it. I'm not saying, oh, it's so easy. They both busted their ass to get where they are, but now they're fucking chilling.
Uh-huh.
They're not working hard. They're having fun. Trust me.
Trust me.
Would do anything to trade places with them. Either of them.
Can you call them? Can I call them now and ask? And verify this?
No, because one of them... No, you can't. You just can't. That's why I can't even say the name of the show.
Well, then I don't believe you.
You don't have to believe me. That's fine.
I do have to believe you if you want me to believe you.
I don't care, actually, if you do or not.
Hold on. I'm just babbling so I can get this thing to Vera. Just keep talking. Talk about your period blood or something.
Well, it's really a lot right now. It's fucking... So I'm like changing my tampon every 2 hours because I'm like dropping blood, babies.
All right. That's cool. Love to hear that. Keep going.
No. I want to wait till you're done so we can talk.
Argentina. Christ on a stick. What am I doing?
I don't know. Why doesn't... If Vera loves to work hard so much, why didn't she get the damn track?
Because she didn't know which one it was.
Okay, I'm going to flush.
And she puts the show together every month.
So does she do
every week. She produces the whole show.
So does she do
countries?
Cartoons or commercials more? Like, what does she do most of?
A lot of cartoons, and I think probably mostly that.
Well, maybe that's why. She needs to get a few commercials or one regular gig.
Well, I'm sure... Yeah. Okay. Are you peeing?
No, I'm just... I already done peeing. I'm running the water because I'm cleaning this crusty residue off the soap.
You know what? Actually, hold on a second.
Oh, God.
No, we're gonna do something here. Hang on.
I want to talk to you about something for real.
Yeah. We're going to ask Vera herself, okay?
Oh, I would love to. I want to talk to Vera. That sounds great.
She's not fucking answering. I know she's there.
I've done voiceover work, too, by the way, you know.
I know that's what you do, is you talk, so I don't doubt that. You talk constantly.
Hello?
Vera, okay, first of all, I'm recording. Second of all, I have Rachel Cann on the line.
Hi, Vera.
I know you hate her.
Hi, Rachel.
Listen, she's...
Well, maybe she doesn't hate
shut
me.
Up.
Maybe
shut
she
up.
Doesn't.
She will in a minute. She huh? was... She says... We're having an argument. She says voice actors don't work hard and they have it made.
Okay, well, Vera, I'll go ahead and respond, and then I'll say what I'm actually saying.
Right.
Believe me, Rachel, I know that if I'm getting information through Madge, I'm getting misinformation.
Hey, I'm trying to defend you, you cow.
The job itself, the job of voiceover is indeed cushier than hell. But getting the jobs are what is really, really hard. That's the hard part of being an actor, unless you're a star. It's getting the work and having to do the stuff that we have to do to get that work is a fucking cunting bitch.
Okay.
That's exactly what I just said.
Thanks a lot, Vera. Thank you a lot. Thanks for defending me.
Vera.
Rachel.
I have a friend who is all the women's voices on a show that's a cartoon that grown-ups like with lots of cursing, but I can't say the name for like legal reasons about her job. And yeah, of course her life was hell till she got that job. But now that she's a regular, she doesn't even fucking take a shower.
Right. You
know what I mean?
Yeah. If you get a regular gig.
Ooh, not taking a shower. That's really having it made when you don't take showers.
To me, that's paradise.
I don't take showers. I don't have it made.
Anyway, go ahead, Vera. You were saying.
I was just basically reiterating what you already said. If you do get a regular gig, and especially if it's on a successful show, you don't have to worry about anything. You do not have to worry.
As long as you can like invest and not be totally stupid, I mean, you can really be set.
But have you met one actor who isn't an asshole?
Me. All I can get is a job. But do you know what? Since we're talking about this, I've been wanting to talk about it anyway,
God.
Because I'm like,
my
so
ears hurt.
Fucking,
do you have to talk so loud?
I'm so fucking done with this like lack of success thing. I moved out to LA. I was an actor. You know, I'm an LA Weekly award winning actor. Maybe you didn't know that.
That's
but I
cool.
am a very well respected actor who never works in film or TV because every time I start doing auditions, like I stopped doing commercial auditions. When I went to this commercial audition, and it was like a legit audition from my agent, and they gave me a cowboy hat, and a jelly donut.
Yeah.
And they said, could you eat this, like, really messy, like, let it drip down your face and kind of moan? And I took off the cowboy hat and I started crying and I said, I can't do that for you. I have to go. Of course, I took the jelly donut with me to comfort me on the drive home. But after that, I just kind of, you know.
Why didn't you do it? What's the big deal?
It just, I snapped. I'm just saying that was the day I snapped. I'm cutting a long story short, but that's when I snapped.
That does sound pretty cush to be able to eat a jelly donut and squish it all over your face and call it work.
If you were getting paid. But again, as Vera was saying, that's the part about trying to get work. And as Vera knows, being a lady in the business, it sucks. It's very sexist. But I want to talk about something positive about this.
Oh, God.
So, Vera, you know I teach aerobics, right? Did you know that?
God, she's on fire with just talking. I'm out of control with this thing. I just wanted to.
This is what I wanted to talk about anyway, though. Vera, did you know I teach aerobics?
Did you know she teaches aerobics, Vera? Did you know?
Yes, I do. I know that.
Okay, so I teach aerobics.
Okay.
And there's like, you know, I'm a little bit of a weird type for. I'm not your typical aerobics teacher type. So there's like some really, you know, fun, freaky girls who come take my class. And there's this one girl and she's like really, you know, I just kind of make buds with them since I have no life.
Right.
You know, I never hang out with anybody else. Like the only people I see on a regular basis are people come to my aerobics class regularly. And there's this one girl who's coming. She's always like really cool. And I had a show at Royce Hall recently. I'm sure you didn't know because Magic.
Oh, my God. This is what period does to Rachel Cann.
No, it's not. I'm just talking to someone who's actually being nice to me for a second.
She's not talking.
Exactly.
She's laughing.
She's letting me speak. She's listening to me. I have a point.
Go ahead.
So there's this one girl who's really cool. We always kind of, she's just a cool chick in the class. And then one day we started talking and she had on this little baseball hat that said, "It's always sunny in Philadelphia." I mean, it's the Hollywood Y. It's like actors everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, is that show good? Because everybody's always freaking out talking about how great that show is. I haven't seen it. And she's like, oh yeah, it's really great. I'm the waitress on it. My husband writes it. So I watched it. Have you fucking watched that show?
I haven't.
What show?
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Never heard of it.
It's the fucking funniest thing I have seen on American TV in a very long time, if not ever.
Is that the one with Danny DeVito?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it. I've heard good things about it.
It is so funny. It is so fucking funny.
So the moral of the story is if you want to be on a show, marry the writer.
No, they were already together, like totally starving artists together before they made it, actually.
I'm jealous. Vera, I sent you not only my track, but I also found, with the help of this Rachel thing, the clip from the Casa Rosada. It's starting in 8 minutes. Did you get both of them?
I just got the Evita stuff.
Good.
So, Vera, can I ask you some questions?
Of course, my darling.
So I think there's some reason. Are you allowed to say that you live in somewhere in the San Fernando Valley? Is that allowed?
I talk about it all the time. I live in Woodland Hills.
But I tried to bring up something specific, and Madge like freaked out at me one time. So I don't know. Like,
well, that's because you're boring.
Madge's very protective of me, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate that too. So how long have you been a voiceover actor? Like where you say, okay, this is what I want to pursue.
Well, actually, I don't want to bore anybody, but I fell into voice acting. I've been an actor since I was a little kid, not necessarily professionally, but for the past about 23 or 24 years, I started making my money as an actor, and then it just happened that my partner, my now husband, my then partner, was working at an agency that was primarily voiceover. And so I signed with them, and then I started doing voiceover, and that's kind of how I just fell into it, and I became relatively successful at it.
Okay. I'll watch.
Madge, are you talking to us or to your mom or something, or what's going on?
Okay.
Anyway.
Madge is talking to herself.
I wasn't talking to you. Go ahead.
I didn't think so. So Madge's point, well taken, that you actually started sleeping with somebody at a voiceover agency, so that worked out well for you.
Right.
No, because we were together prior to his working at that agency.
Again, just like my friend who is on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but nevertheless, it did work out conveniently for you.
Yeah, it did, because what it did is he brought my demo tape in from the agent that I was already with into the agents that he was working with, and she really liked me, and so she signed me.
And you had the talent to back it up, and there you go. So, like, if you suck, it doesn't matter who you're fucking, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, I don't know. There's always, you know...
Well, like, you should suck whoever it is you're fucking. It makes it a little more successful.
You get my point, though. So now, do you still pursue anything beyond voice acting, or is it all voice acting pretty much now because you don't have to take showers?
Well, that because I am lazy by nature, and my real love is stage acting, because I believe that's the truest form of acting. And so when I can do stage, I do it. But as you well know, stage doesn't pay you. And so the acting that I do that makes money is primarily voiceover. I got as sick of as you did of walking into an audition and having people say, "No, this jelly donut," and let the stuff run down your chin, because that's the kind of crap. You know, stand on your head and read the copy. I mean, I literally did a McDonald's audition for a McDonald's on camera commercial where I was standing on my head, and that was my breaking point.
You should have snapped your neck.
You're just like,
and
I'm gonna snap. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did pretty much the same thing. And
why the hell did you really have to do it literally on your head?
Standing on my head.
Because they know we're idiots, so they make fools of us.
Is that why?
Yes.
Well, they have, first of all, they have a lot, casting people have a lot of power, and they exercise that power because it makes them feel good. But also, you'll get the client wants to see what the actor looks like upside down because they're going to be upside down in the commercial. You know, so they,
why can't they just turn the camera upside down?
Because gravity does stuff to your face.
Yeah. And they want to see, you know.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it really is bad. I had one audition where I actually got the gig and got the part, but the director said, "Okay, now I want all of you guys to come outside and I want you to run back and forth to make sure that none of you run like fags."
Oh my God.
Yeah, I didn't laugh. I was really fucking upset at it.
Oh God.
And that night.
So fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Hooray for Hollywood.
Well, what's hysterical is I got the job. I got that job, you know, and I guess I don't run like a fag. I just sucked
it. Probably because you were so mad that you were, like, filled with testosterone, so you, ran really much.
I was running aggressively.
Yeah, you were so filled with rage. Listen to this. Here's another great story like that.
Oh.
So,
good.
My
story.
Agent,
wow.
She goes, "Oh, this is so sad. My mother died. So will all you," she sends like a group email, "will all of you come to the funeral?" I'm I don't know your okay. So I go to the funeral and my agent walks up to me and she goes, "Well, who are you?" And I'm like, "I'm your client."
You invited
like,
me
well,
to the
you're supposed to, she goes, "Well, you're supposed to send me new headshots when you change your hair." And I go, "Well, I didn't change my hair.
I only gained
She's like,
a thousand.
My mother died," and walked away.
She gained a thousand.
So I
you
didn't
only gained
stay
a thousand
with that agency.
It's time to re-sign with somebody else.
Yeah, I
These
left
are
that
like,
agent.
I'm actually getting funny stories out of Rachel. Two of them. I don't know what's going on. I actually
because fear of relates to my life. I'm like, you know. So that's why I started writing. I mean, that's not... Thank God for writing is what I'm saying, because at least you're like empowered. You're so fucking powerless when you're just an actor. You're just like waiting for, it's like you're waiting for someone to like say you're pretty enough to fuck. Like, fuck you, you know?
Well, it's also the art of acting itself requires someone to watch you. You can't just sit in your bedroom and perform a scene. You need someone to see the scene, as opposed to you can sit down and write something that's very fulfilling and very beautiful all by yourself. You don't need an audience.
But also, I mean, I do a lot of performance, so I actually got to write better material to perform than most of the shit I was getting to perform anyway, you know?
Yes.
But then, honestly...
Who's peeling carrots?
No one. I'm doing dishes. When I won the LA Weekly Award, I honestly thought... It was like this really weird thing, because, like, you know how the LA theater scene is, it's like... really is bread and piss ass and, you know, all that. And so, I mean, I'm not really engaged in that level of it at all. Like, I don't kiss anyone's ass. I don't really care. I'm just happy to do a good show if I think it's worth doing. And they ask me to do it and it's good writing, I'll be like, fuck yeah. But I don't even really audition. So this is a great fucking play. Great part. I got it because of the writer. Like, the writing was just so perfect. All I had to do was say the writing well and There you go.
Let me ask you both a question. Is getting rejected... Hello? 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 Hello, testing.
Hello?
Let me get Vera back. I don't know why that happened. Because of me, probably.
Hello?
Okay, sorry about that. The question I wanted to ask is... Is going on an audition and getting rejected anything at all like dating somebody and then they reject you because of something horrible like
yes.
you? Is it? Because that's
yes.
the worst. That's
yes.
the worst.
I think rejection of any kind is very painful. And especially if you're giving...
Oh, we're Skyping out bad. I don't know what's going on. We're Skyping out.
Okay.
I must be, Madge.
No, no. It's because I'm on the neighbor's Wi-Fi by accident, I think. So I have to sit in that fucking room with the bong. Not the bong, the Tibetan singing bowl.
Oh, I was like, why didn't you call me? I'll sit in the room with the bong with you.
Yeah, that's a surprise. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. I hate rejection more than anything pretty much in the world except death. I think it's like rejection... Death.
Well, that's what show business is. And once again, unless you are an established celebrity or a star, and even they get rejected.
Yeah.
But
you still get horrible rejection. It's like you have to learn how to cope with it and find your zen about it. Because, I mean, I have friends that have been people like that are names, and they still be like, you know what? We think you're too fat right now. You can't do this movie. And you're like, people would shit their pants if they knew. You know what I mean?
They knew what?
Who, like, that it was happening to that person. You know what I mean? It's like, people think, oh, they got it made in the shade, and, like, they never get rejected, you know? And they'll be like, eh, you're too fat right now.
Oh, well.
Do you want to, like, get on your own Wi-Fi and call us back, or what?
What's the problem? Is something wrong?
You're doing that thing with your mic again.
Oh, that's me. That's not the Wi-Fi. What do you hear?
Well, just sit still.
Well, I don't know what's causing it. That's the problem. Is it better now?
Well, yeah, once again, it's intermittent. It isn't okay. Whenever you speak. It's just...
I need to figure out what's causing it. Is this doing it? Was that...
Yes.
Oh, so it's a loose wire then. Okay.
So just don't move, like I said.
That's easy for you to say. You're doing fucking dishes. I have to sit here and play with my cunt. The problem is I have to... We're at the place where I'm staying. I'm supposed... Because I'm the only person left in the house, I'm supposed to keep an eye on the cleaning woman to make sure she doesn't steal anything.
Now, am I to assume that I'm a poor excuse or a poor replacement for either Cheryl
no,
or
not.
Andy?
I was just calling to ask the one question because I thought Rachel was lying to me. It turns out she's right, and I'm pissed.
Okay.
Because she was saying that being a voiceover actor was hard work. I said, no, finding work.
Anyway, I know
is
you
the part that's hard.
I know you have to edit the show, so I'm not going to keep
it. All right, well, Rachel, it was a pleasure to talk to you and to meet you.
I wish we could talk more, yeah.
Well, you can't, so deal with it.
All right, Madge, you know I'm madly in love with you.
I do. Okay, thanks, Vera.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, Rachel, I need to call you right back because I need to switch.
What?
I need to switch to the different Wi-Fi so I can move around the fucking house.
Okay.
Just chill out.
I'll be right here waiting for you, my love.
I'm Rachel, and I'm ready for good news.
Hello.
Hello.
That was fucked up. I don't know what happened.
It's like the tables have really turned. All of a sudden, you're like retarded.
Yeah, that's sudden.
And I'm like on the ball, and Annie Vera likes me.
Annie Vera likes anyone who...
me too.
Actually, that's not true. She hates everyone. Listen.
I want to hang out with her, though. Why won't you let me?
I'll let you, Auntie Vera Charles. God damn it. What are you doing? That's so loud.
I broke a mug.
Listen.
I broke a mug.
Well, that's
oh,
not...
Oh, fuck.
Listen.
Yes?
I think the reason we had a problem is because I switched to the Wi-Fi and that fucks with Skype because it thinks you're on a different network or something.
Mm.
So, here's the thing.
Tell me the thing.
I forgot. There was something I wanted to talk about for...
I want to talk about something, too, whenever you're ready.
Go ahead, because I forgot mine.
Okay. seriously, I know for whatever reason you won't watch Summer Heights High, which is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen.
I tried to. I just never got past the like first 5 minutes of it. I don't know why.
You have to, because you have to watch the first 5 minutes.
I tried twice.
And then it explodes in brilliance.
Okay, I'll try again. Because they have nothing better to do than watch TV. Which is actually true. I mean, I'm not
even... Yeah, I'm like, well... But seriously?
Yeah.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Can we... Okay.
It's fucking rocking my world. No, I never talk about TV. I never talk about movies.
Okay.
I'm very passionate about this subject because so much fucking TV absolutely sucks. In fact, pretty much all TV sucks.
Yeah,
and
but
I'm
you know
so
what? You
want to
be on a... You want to be on Lost, but you don't even watch the show, and that offends me.
I only want to be on it because I want to live in Oahu.
But you should still watch it if you want to be on the fucking thing.
I don't have cable.
It's not on cable, you retard. It's on fucking ABC.
We don't get any damn channels. We don't get any channels.
Well, then how do you watch this other crap?
Because it's free. You can watch it free online.
Well, the same thing with Lost.
Really? Okay, I'll watch it. It's
ABC.com.
Just a little bit to jump in the middle.
They do it all, no, they do a whole recap thing. Don't worry.
Okay, I will. I have watched it, and what I've seen I thought was fucking great and, like, good and creepy in a cool way. I just am not one of those people. I haven't seen it all. But seriously, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is so good. It's so offensive in all the right ways.
Have you ever done Kundalini yoga?
Mm-hmm. We've talked about this. Yes, I have.
Did we? Because I did it for the first time last week, and it was wild. So I think I'm going to do it again today.
Good, do it.
It's so weird.
I know. It's super weird. That's what we were talking about. Last time we did a show.
Oh, Vera needs an MP3. Okay. I forgot how retarded she is.
You are retarded like that, too. When I send you a track that's not an MP3, you make me send you an MP3, too.
Oh, you're right. But I'm different. I'm just doing it to be a cow.
Yeah. I want to be Annie Vera.
Let's talk about Eckhart Tolle. I don't want to talk about showbiz and all this crap that gets me stressed out.
Me, too. I know. Me, too.
So they, you know, this guy talks about living in the moment and all this. Now, being present,
right?
I find it makes so much sense, but in it's so difficult in practice.
Right.
I can't stop thinking about. You know, I get caught in thought, and the whole point. I can't handle that kind of noise you're making when I'm trying to be serious.
Okay, listen. It stopped. I broke a mug. I almost injured myself. I was getting the last piece. No more noise. Go on. Being present in the moment. You try. You get stuck. Go on.
Right, but like, you know, I get it. I get what they're saying. You know, you have to be in the moment. But so I try to like meditate and think about nothing and observe my thoughts, which I get. But then before I know it, every single time I'm in some sort of argument with myself about some dumb thing or about a person, you know, or some situation. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody does. And so what I do is then I try to pull myself out and I like do all this visualization. I like think, well, this problem, I'm going to wrap it up into a paper bag and visualize it as a, you know, fucking bag on a table or something. And then the next thing you know, and I'm worrying about something else. I just find it frustrating to do. Do you know how to do it?
Yes.
How?
Well, no, it is hard. I'll tell you this. Remember when I went and did that Vipassana retreat and everybody made so much fucking fun of me? Where I meditated 10 hours a day for 10 days and I couldn't...
Yeah, I do. And I was like, how could... Well, I laughed because I couldn't understand how you could go any length of time without talking.
Right, right.
But go ahead.
Well, that was why I did that. That's what that practice is about. The thing is... It's hard.
Yeah.
But it really is true that if you practice at it, you will get better at it. Like, of course, you will try to think of nothing, and then you're like, okay, fine, and then some other shit comes up. But the thing is, all that shit is just your ego trying to distract you.
Oh,
right?
God. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, it's not the practice of having like this, you're like perfect and you have this still mind and oh, nothing ever fucking comes up and you think Eckhart Tolle never gets frustrated or pissed off. It's
from
not
the way
that
he
you
writes,
can actually,
yes.
No, it's not that you can actually keep your mind clear. It's being in the practice of choosing stillness, even though you're not perfect at it. You know what I'm saying? Yes, thoughts are going to come up. Yes, it's your ego. Your ego is trying to fucking keep you from finding stillness. Fine. Because when you find stillness and realize that you are not your ego, you're free. And your ego is like a codependent nagging child that's like fucking with your head and making you think you need them, but really they need you. Without you, they don't exist. Okay. That's why when you're in a... Sorry, go ahead. Fine, just interrupt me. Go ahead.
No, I want to take that and now contrast it with the Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Did you see the remake with Nicole Kidman?
No, I saw the second remake, like the one in the 80s, but not the recent one.
But you understand the idea. But, you know, the idea is, or one of the ideas is, basically, you know, if everybody's the same, because these pod people are basically all of the same mind, if everybody's the same mind and entirely at peace in this peaceful society, then it becomes... we lose our humanity.
Right.
So in some ways, I wonder, like, if we're striving towards this inner self that's all this unity, that's not really about being human, or is
it? I know what you mean. This was a big problem for me. I remember when I was freaking out about this when I was like 17, because like everybody was like, unity, unity, about like race stuff. And I was like, why unity? I don't want everybody to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Diversity.
Right.
It's not unity. It's not everyone. I agree with you. And I think that's why people kind of who are a little weirded out by Eckhart Tolle trip out on him a bit, because it is a little bit like you could get lost in it and confused in it and think it's like all, oh, we're all of one mind. And then it's like, okay, Brave New World, what the fuck, you know? I don't think that's the point. The point is, we're all part of this one big collective mind, and we're all having our experience. I'm going to use some Kabbalah shit to explain what I mean.
No, I agree with you.
And
but it's just, I guess this is where I fault him in being so serious, in taking it so seriously. I don't think, like, I mean, he claims to be enlightened, clearly, and I just feel like those other texts, like the ancient texts, like I was reading this one that's something Zen Ching Chong or something. There's so much less.
The Tao Te Ching?
Yeah. Or the the Gita or whatever.
Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, they just seem so much less arrogant. You know, they just give the wisdom and he's like telling you what to think. In other words, you know what I mean? It's kind of like a history teacher telling you, well, here's what happens in the world, instead of saying, here's, you know, instead of teaching history.
Right.
And I guess I get a little frustrated because I feel like I'm getting, I don't know, maybe it's just
I know exactly what you mean.
Shit.
It's not working for you to feel like someone's bossing you.
Exactly.
And you know what, though, Madge, here's the thing. I mean, if there's one subject I know about, it's this. I've read too many spiritual teaching. I know every New Age spiritual book, like everything. I've read them all. And the thing about it is, the reason that we have more than one religion, the reason that we have any kind of new thought books, any of it, is that everybody's in a different place and words are just an attempt to get at this truth that's really ineffable. You can't put it in language. So everybody's going to have a different thing that works for them, that speaks to them. Maybe Eckhart Tolle isn't like your perfect teacher, you know?
Yeah, but it does get me. Because, I mean, he definitely got me.
Yeah, it makes sense to you and you get it. It's, yeah, absolutely.
Because he understands the modern world. And he's able to sort of, in a way, you have to be shocked out of it, I guess, because we're so stuck in it.
Well, the thing about it is, it sounds like to me, what you're coming up against is like a very busy mind, which of course I understand. So it's like you try to find stillness, and then it's like all these other voices clamoring for attention. So,
but it's not just busy. It's anxious. It's the thoughts the thoughts that are in there. Our worries, and that's the problem. It's not like, oh, I'm thinking about E equals MC squared. You know what I mean?
When I say busy mind, that's what I mean. Because we busy ourselves with the things that make us anxious to keep from getting to that stillness, to keep with what's really underneath, what we really don't want to deal with. But what I was going to suggest to you is I really think that there's a lot of different practices that are along the same lines as Eckhart Tolle, but really give your mind a lot to do. Like give you exercises and like different thoughts to think. So instead of not thinking anything, you get to choose to think about something else and not just putting the thought you don't want, wrapping it up in a package and throwing it in the river, but like lots of other really creative things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend,
like
I recommend, now, this shit is channeled, so whatever. Like, I have my thoughts about channeling. I don't know where the fuck this wisdom is coming from, but it's really good wisdom. You're going to really relate to it because it's really down to earth.
What the bleep do we know? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Okay, what?
No. Not the fucking secret. Not the fucking what the bleep. No.
Okay, go ahead.
Asking it is given. I'm sure you've heard about it. It's everywhere. I've probably told you about it. Okay, well, it's by Esther and Jerry Hicks. But what I really, it's Esther, and she says she's channeling this guy, Abraham. And like I said, whatever, when it comes to channeling, whatever.
What's the name of the book again? Tell me.
Ask and it is given. But I want to suggest a different one to you because of where you're at right now, which is called Money and the Law of Attraction.
Oh, good Lord.
Just wait.
That's the one I've heard about, the Law of Attraction.
Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Because they use the Law of Attraction in The Secret. But that whole concept by the people who made the goddamn Secret was stolen from Esther and Jerry Hicks, who really are totally cool about it and don't even care. They're super zen.
Okay, tell me the name of the book again.
Money and the Law of Attraction.
Okay.
Not only did they steal their concept and make The Secret and like make it all about the material world, which even the book Money and the Law of Attraction is not about material gain. It's about how your thoughts are keeping what you want away from you. Whereas The Secret is like, the universe is a slot machine. Pull the right arm and you can be rich. Fuck everybody else's suffering. Get a car, you know, whatever.
Get a car.
Not that I don't want a car. Don't get me wrong. But
the Law of Attraction, it's funny because I was reading this 1920-something text about written by a contemporary of Einstein, and that's really where the Law of Attraction comes from, physics.
Yes, of course.
So I don't know what the fuck, if they're talking about it in that context or if they are talking about it in terms of like vibrations.
There's no difference.
But I'm sorry, Rachel, maybe I'm just uninformed and unenlightened, but when people start talking, like yoga teachers will say, like one of them said the other day, during Shavasana, they said, like, we're all at the same, everybody here is of the same mind, and we're all vibrating at the same frequency. I'm like, what? How do you know? What does that mean? Yeah. I don't get, like, shit like that throws me, and I get like, I'm like, well, these people are dumb, so why should I even listen to them?
Well, you shouldn't. And you should trust your inner wisdom to know when something's not right for you and it sounds like bullshit. Because that's all you really have is your own inner wisdom.
Yeah.
And somebody else who maybe doesn't have as high an IQ as you or maybe isn't such a thinker as you, that might be like, whoa, that's a big...
I don't have a high IQ. I have an average IQ.
That might be like a big breakthrough for them. Like, whoa, we're all of one mind and we're all of one vibration. And like, they were going to go out and like kick a black guy in the shins after class. And now he sees that all races are equal. So every teacher is teaching to people being at a different place. Mm-hmm. So that just wasn't where you were at. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, you understand where I am at, right?
I do. And the one thing I was going to say about it that I really suggest you do is it's worth the money. And go through Amazon. If you go to Amazon...
I'm on Amazon right now.
Okay,
to
it's
buy
like
this book.
$15. Look up Money and the Law of Attraction.
Yeah, I got it right here. I'm looking at it.
And go to the audio download version.
Oh, okay.
It's like $15.
Is it unabridged?
Cheap. Yeah, it's like 7.5 hours. And not only that, but at the beginning, they break it the fuck down about how the people from The Secret tried to take this concept and sell it as their own, but ended up distorting it anyway. So here's their version.
Esther Hicks, Jerry Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
What's the year?
It's like 2008.
Oh, okay, so how could The Secret have stolen it if it's 2008?
You'll see, because the woman from The Secret who did The Secret contacted Esther and Jerry Hicks. She said, I want to make a documentary about you guys. Can I follow you around, study your teachings, blah, 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 blah. So she did, studied all her teachings, talked to some of their followers, and then took those ideas and got a bunch of other kind of new age people who, but a lot of who are a lot more material based about having stuff in this world, and then took their stuff and then made The Secret out of it. And so in response to their teachings getting distorted, they weren't bitter. They didn't try to sue. They didn't do anything. They're like, you know what? It's cool. the wheel of karma will turn how it needs to. Okay, we're not going to put a lot of energy and focus on somebody fucking us over. Okay. Let me finish.
Okay, finish.
So we're going to write our own book explaining how these concepts are actually supposed to be understood. And of course, it didn't take them long to write it because they already had it. It was already their truth. Anyway.
Why do they have to use that shitty font?
I don't know. It's very cheesy.
How come self-help books always have shitty fonts and really dumb covers?
Because that's who they're marketed to, or people like your yoga teachers. Like, we're all on one vibration. We're all one mind.
Okay.
The best advice. Let me tell you. The best advice that you
get. Look, I don't want you to tell me. I mean, I'll probably download this and read it, but
you really should.
But I don't want advice on what to read. I want to know directly.
No, I wasn't going to give you advice on what to read. I was going to tell you the thing that's most powerful that Esther and Jerry Hicks or whatever Abraham with the fucking channel, whatever. The thing that they teach that's most valuable, that I find most valuable in spiritual teachers that people like you and I need, is that you need to move gradually, just like with any change in your life. Like, you introduced yoga into your life a year ago, and now you're feeling healthier, and now you're more open to these things. But it's like when you try to be all drastic and be like, okay, I've got this neurotic mind and I'm always worried about shit, and now I'm going to sit down and meditate, and boom, my mind's going to be like a fucking pristine, clear lake. Like, come on. It's too hard on yourself, you know what I mean?
No, that's true.
So you gotta gently travel, gently, like, lean into the change, you know what
okay,
I mean?
Now, you sound like you
little
know
changes.
You sound like you know a lot about this stuff, and I think you do, but then why are you such a mess?
I don't know.
Or are you just faking it?
Both.
Well, see, I think too that, and I've had people say this to me, that the people that act like the mess the most sometimes are the healthiest because they're expressing it.
Right, because I'm fucking real. Like, I don't put on an act like everything's fine and I'm perfect. Like, this is literally who I am. You know what I mean? But also, something else that they teach very well is that, talk about leaning into it and making gradual changes. Just because you've made a decision that, like, you're going to change your life, you still have to wait for reality to catch up to you. And, like, if you believe that thoughts and things you put out there have energy and create reality. Like, I've been so abusive to myself for so long. It's such a pattern of mine. And that's the main thing I learned doing Vipassana, when you have to sit in your fucking, literally sit in your shit for 10 hours a day, for 10 days without speaking. What I came away with it realizing more than anything is that I am, like, the most abusive person I've ever met to myself. And I don't really know how to get anything done without abusing myself. I mean, constantly, like, you're so disgusting, you're so ugly, you're so fat, you're such a failure.
How are you making progress?
Look at you.
How's your, I mean, how are you making progress from that?
Because I try to stop, but it is it's a tricky game, because then I want to start beating myself up for beating myself up, because that's my old pattern.
Do you feel like you're making progress?
Yes, I do. I don't think I ever could have met Chris or, like, let anybody in who actually loved me and appreciated me if I hadn't gotten to a place where I could stop talking shit about myself nonstop in my head. Like, yes, I'm making progress.
Where, you know, what do you see as, you know, improvement, room for improvement, would you say, in yourself?
Like, well, I'm still completely fucked up. Like, my weight still fluctuates. I, like, hardly eat at all and teach aerobics nonstop, and I'm still overweight. So, obviously, I'm still giving myself the message that I'm fat and nothing will work, you know. I'm still broke. And I'm not successful in art. And I think that I've more than paid my dues. And I know that I'm talented.
Wait,
I know I'm fabulous.
Have you been looking at other women's vaginas? Because that'll make you go broke.
Oh, God.
I'm just asking. Have you or not?
And been I don't looking mean just, at other women's vaginas?
Yeah, I don't mean just, not just like when you're in the locker room. I mean the whole spread thing. You're not doing that, are you?
No.
Okay. Just checking, because that causes poverty.
But anyway, really, like, you have to realize, even when you make the change, like, I'm like, okay, I am a good artist. I do have a lot to offer. I do try to bring light into this world. That doesn't mean, like, I'm going to wake up the next morning and, like, there's going to be a film producer knocking on my door, like, we want to make the Rachel Kahn movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, reality still has to catch up to your...
But you
changing.
Know what, Rachel? It just would be so nice if every afternoon at around 5 to 7 o'clock, I didn't get this semi-anxiety attack based on what I worry about absolutely everything that that at 9 a.m. is absolutely where, you know, I wouldn't need to worry about. You know what I mean? It's like my mind changes that drastically throughout the day that some in the morning, everything's fine, let's say. And in the afternoon, I will think about those same problems in the morning. It's not that I'm ignoring them. It's like I'll think about these same situations or problems and say, well, I'll live. Who cares? Big deal. It's fine. But then at night, I'll be like, you know what I mean? Like, woo.
Yes, I do. So here's what you need to start doing. Okay. Because as you know better than anyone, because you're somebody who's battled and conquered addiction, what's the most important thing with addiction, to break an addiction, is you can't just leave a vacuum. Right. You have to fill an addiction with another addiction, you know? Like now you're addicted to yoga and it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So how does that apply to my...
I'm going to tell you, you can't just like have those... I mean, that's very nice that you can think those thoughts in the morning that are kind of negative thoughts or like worries or concerns or whatever you want to call them. And you can feel pretty zen about it and be like,
well...
You call
it a situation.
Okay.
A problem is not a problem. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And then later in the day, you can think those same thoughts about worries and concerns and you're freaking out. But instead of being like, why is it freaking me out now? Or just stop thinking about it. I highly recommend truly that you in that moment start literally letting yourself, like maybe you need to say from 5 to 7, if that's when it really hits you, like that's my daydream time. All you're going to do is daydream about the things that are worries being fabulous. So like, and I don't mean, and you can't think about not have, like if I'm worried about having no money, let's say, I can't think, oh, no more lack of money. Won't it be great to not have a lack of money? Instead, I need to think about abundance. And like, I'm do anything, like I'm making my album, I'm DJing in front of a bunch of people, my children's book is published, and like parents, I'm seeing people's parents, like reading it to their kids, and that like, it's making those kids feel better, and maybe they won't kill themselves later. So like, you literally have to let yourself daydream happy, good thoughts, like fill your mind
like
with thoughts.
Like creative visualization, like that kind of thing?
Well, I am, but not so much in the sense of like the secret, like do this and then all those things will manifest. And watch, just dream about a car and a mansion and you'll have a car and a mansion. I'm saying more that because you're having this tape looping of negative thought, and it's driving you crazy. Instead of trying to go, don't think bad thought, and making yourself really fucking crazy. See what I mean? To give yourself total permission to like have positive daydreams about those same things. And like literally, Madge, if you can't, which happens, where you're like, you know what? I can't even get a whiff of a good feeling right now. Like I can't think a good thought about without feeling like it's bullshit and I'm lying to myself.
Yeah.
Rather than, I'm not into that whole fake it till you make it, like, oh, I'm going to just think good thoughts. But inside you're like, bullshit. Literally, you're better off thinking about something else for a couple hours, like putting in a stupid movie or reading a book or whatever you can do to get your mind off of it. You're literally better off than bullshitting yourself. Yeah, I know that
you're
for
right. Occupying your mind, right?
But really occupying your mind with like really pleasant, happy things. Like go watch a couple episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You'll laugh your ass off. But yeah, like I say all this shit, but like I'm really one of the most fucked up people I know, but that's because, like, I'm in touch with my fucked upness, you know?
Yeah.
I just admit it, you know? I've certainly not, like, evolved and have, like, reached all my goals, but, like, my biggest problem is, like, beating myself up about it. Right. Like, I don't think it'd be any different. If I don't change my thinking, I don't change my thinking. Like, I could be, you know, I could win an Oscar and still, like, find a reason to be depressed. You
I
know,
could
be
win
like, well,
the Oscar
director
for best worrying about something you're not in.
Yeah. Do you do that a lot? See, that's one thing I don't have a big problem with. Do you get really jealous of other people's success and think about how successful other people are?
I don't spend a whole lot of time doing that. I mean,
I don't either. That's
not
good.
Really. Like, mostly I look at it as inspiration. Like, for example, Vera is very successful. I would love to be as successful as she is, but...
Yeah.
Envious, not in the least. It wouldn't even occur to me.
Some people really have a big problem with jealousy. I thank God that I'm not like bitter and jealous of people.
Oh, I've definitely encountered some of that in the podcasting realm, which is hilarious because it's the least. Why?
Like, hello.
Like jealous of what? You know?
Yeah.
So
People. Some people are fucking real haters. Like, they'll sit around and just stew about somebody else having success that they don't have. You know, even famous people they don't even know. It's like crazy.
Well, I consider myself lucky when I know somebody who's successful because I feel like I might learn something from them.
Right. It's inspiring and like, yeah. I mean, whatever.
And success tends to bring success. I mean, like, when my friends, like, when I was getting stuff, like. When I was getting stuff like the pod show stuff and I thought that was cool, my friend got a job on radio, you know, I felt like all my artist friends were like going places at the same time.
Right. Well, and it's true because
like attracts
like and momentum, it rises together. But like if you get yourself in a really negative place, you're going to draw more negativity to you.
That's true.
You know, birds of a feather. It's really true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's why when we were talking off the air last time, I told you, it's like, I just need to believe that, like, we're going to succeed any second now. And I do believe it.
I don't know that. See, my thing is, like, my philosophy has always been very simple. If you don't want to worry about money, then don't worry about money.
Exactly.
For me, that's success is survival at this point. Success is being able to pay the bills.
Right. So, just being solvent is like
so
a
success. I think everything will be okay, but like my loftiest goal right now is to be able to keep paying the bills.
Me too.
That's it. I mean, that's really it. And still, and not have to, you know, sacrifice my entire self to do it.
Me too.
So it's a battle, but whatever.
Well, I'm in the same place, but I think you're absolutely right, is that you could be completely broke or a millionaire and spend all your time worrying about money, or you can be completely broke or a millionaire and not let just be like
money comes and goes. Money has nothing to do with it. In fact, I think it makes people unhappier more than it makes people happy, for sure. Like, I have a friend who's here in South Chicago, and we've been hanging out, and his brother is...
I broke a mug, babe.
His brother is super rich. He just moved into this 10,000 square foot house. It's ridiculous. Are you listening? No.
Yeah, but I broke one of Chris's mugs.
I know you told me an hour ago.
I was telling him.
He doesn't care. Get another one. All right, so...
fabulous house. Sorry, go back.
So, anyway, but like James is like constantly having an anxiety problems because... Well, that's another story, but like he goes home to his brother's house, and he has a separate guest house for where James stays. But his brother he left the alarm on, so he turned his brother won't give his own brother the key code to the alarm because he's that untrustworthy. And this is something I find very common with very wealthy people, is that they don't trust anyone because they're so worried about their things. And I think that's really, really pathetic.
Yeah, of course. It's tragic is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you just... So instead of giving his brother the code, he forgets to turn the alarm off, and then his brother comes home, and he jumps out of bed because the alarm goes off, practically broke his neck, you know, falling over some expensive Lalique crystal. You know, why not just give him the fucking code? It's your fucking brother. Isn't that sad? Isn't it?
Yeah, it's tragic. Are you kidding? Like, he's in a hell of his own creation.
And the same thing with people that are super successful. The problem is when you're super successful, like movie star successful, well, you know what? You've got no place to... How do you keep that up? You can't. It means you have to save all your money when you've got that super success and then be able to... You've got to have the kind of ego that can deal with that success plummeting to zero. I mean, there's very few movie stars who don't turn into zero and eventually. I mean, even the great ones like Betty Davis and, you know, they turn into old ladies, you know?
Yeah.
They fade. It's just like Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the thing about it is that, first of all, if you want to be successful and all in any of these things, you've got to stop stating these laws of how people who have money are and people who have success are.
Who does that? You mean that's
you
book?
Did. You just said, you're like, whenever people are successful, they're always going to be miserable because eventually they're going to be nothing.
Oh, did I just say that?
Yes. And so what you're doing is you're setting up inside yourself a subconscious conflict where you're working at cross purposes. Do you see what I mean?
It's interesting, yeah. I do.
And so the universe or your inner spirit or however you want to think of it is like, it's at odds. It's working in conflict. It's going, well, Madge wants to be successful, but Madge doesn't want to be successful because at least now Madge is real and won't be like crazy like successful rich people are. You see what I mean?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
So you got to be careful of that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
But also, if you want to be zen about it, the truth of it is that it does. It all goes in ebbs and flows, and everything goes in cycles. And it's like anything. Anytime somebody's like raised to the level of guru, like they're always going to have some sex scandal or some white collar.
The point I was trying to make is not that it's bad or whatever to be a movie star. I mean, obviously, there's wonderful things to be successful in whatever way you want to be, and that's great. But the point I guess I was trying to make is, it all comes down to the same thing, which is, if you don't have the internal stuff working, then, you're fucked.
Right. And if you do, it doesn't matter what's going on.
Yeah. Because everyone has tragedy. Everyone has good things and bad things happen. And if you're not prepared during homeostasis, you're not going to be prepared during crisis.
Or success. You're going to fuck it up too.
That's true.
So check it out. I have another person to suggest to you, who you're really gonna like, I think. And her name is Byron Katie.
My God, who's this now?
She's a woman who, in a lot
named
of ways,
Byron?
she has a lot in common with Eckhart Tolle. And then in that, her breakthrough came from like her having a total meltdown and being like, I hate myself so much. That, like, her ego separated. You know how he talks about that happening? Like, he's like, I can't stand myself. And he's like, who's the I and who's the myself?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So she went through one of those things. But she's just, like, kind of, like, really so pragmatic. It's so down to earth. Mm-hmm. And she's created this thing that she calls the work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a series of four questions that any problem, anything
I know about that. Okay, I've heard of this.
It's really good.
But wait a second. Tell me this and tell me the truth.
Okay.
When you have these books in your backpack, and let's say you're in a public place, tell me you're not embarrassed to be reading them and you wish you had a paper bag or an old-fashioned like school book cover to cover what you're reading. Or put collected works of Shakespeare,
I'm embarrassed to read anything that an actor might read in L.A., too. So, like, it's equally embarrassing to read Shakespeare or those books.
That's true. Well, Shakespeare is a bad example. Maybe, like, I don't know, James Joyce.
Like, yeah, or, like, some really cool author, But I don't really I don't really go out in public. And I don't really care what people think, but if I did think about it, it is embarrassing, like the New Age thing. So many people involved in the New Age movement are such fucking idiots that it is very embarrassing,
But that's not... Do you think they're really idiots? Or is that just...
I think... No, many of the devotees and acolytes of the movement, yes, I do.
It's kind of like art school. Like, art school's really great for artists, but it's also a great place for people who don't want to think.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. But see, that's just negative and nasty. But, I'm not going to be negative anymore. I'm done being a lesbian with food allergies. I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is that, like, how much, like, this is what it comes back to with money. It's not that you, like you said before, another law you stated that is not good for you.
What?
Is that money always fucks you up and money is what fucks you up. No, none of it is any of those things. It's your thinking that fucks you up. So if you're sitting, you know what? You might be on like on the L and like reading an Eckhart Tolle book, and somebody might be looking at you like you're such an asshole for reading that book.
Yeah, and you might not. They also
but
might
who
be looking.
Cares?
But they also might be looking at you for thinking, "Wow, I have that same book at home."
But the
you
point
would never
is,
know the difference.
That's all. Whatever happens, either way, that's all in your head. That's your drama. Whether or not you're worried about.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably sitting there worried about what someone's thinking about them. Everybody's so worried about what everyone else thinks. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're sitting looking at what everyone else on the train is reading, thinking what assholes they are, who's the asshole, you or them?
Right.
And yeah, so there probably are some people looking and going, oh, what an asshole reading a New Age book. And probably it'll be someone like me and you who, you know, you could have been best friends with if they didn't think you were an asshole for reading that book. Mm-hmm. But that's because people like me and you still have shit to work through, you know?
Mm-hmm. But
I remember when everybody was like reading the Celestine Prophecy and I was living in New York and I like get on the train and every fucking person had Celestine Prophecy. It's like with The Secret, like when I see somebody with The Secret, I think they're like... So spiritually
retarded.
Like, yeah, just taking baby steps that they think the universe is a slot machine and they can like put in the right combination of vision boarding and like get a mansion and like don't worry about the starving people because like they chose their path and like that's not your problem. That's not what the law of attraction was meant to be used as.
Yeah. And if you have cancer, it's your own fault.
Right. Then you get into a whole other conversation we could have because people get really mad and defensive about that stuff and it's really valid, but you also don't want to disempower yourself by making yourself a victim, mm-hmm. you know? So it's just very interesting stuff I could sit and talk
about.
Yeah,
the victim, that was one of the more interesting things I liked about Tolle was when he talks about the feminist movement and victimizing yourself and your whole class. That's something I've agreed with for a long time before, you know.
And the pain body, like, yeah. I think he's dead on with that. Bomber. I know.
What's the pain body? I don't get that.
Well, according to his thinking, there's, like, you know, your ego. There's, like, these different identities that live within you. And one of them, as he considers it, is the pain body. And, like, that's, like, the self that will, like, step in and take over as soon as you feel attacked or depressed. And he talks about, like, for example, the collective pain body of women or any oppressed people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And carrying around all that. And that anytime you're in a fight with someone, like, especially a loved one, like, a relationship and you guys start fighting, it's really, like, your two pain bodies both feeling wounded, so like attacking each other. You know what I mean? It's not your true self. Doesn't want to bicker. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Sort of.
Okay.
I just want to know who's really...
Yes, you do know.
I do, but I want to know who's really... I mean, is anybody... How close is somebody from like being present all the time? I mean, is Eckhart Tolle present all the time? Who is? Is Oprah? I mean, is it possible to even do this?
No.
Is the Dalai Lama? Does he do
it? No.
I mean, I started to read his book. No. It was boring as hell.
It was very boring. But no, everybody, that's the thing. It's not about being present all the time. And it's not, although, you know what? You know who says they are? And it's really interesting is Byron Katie. She's one person who is like, I saw her in an interview with Oprah because I love Oprah. And she's like, so like, you seriously haven't felt anger once since this happened? And she's like, nope. And like, she's not stuck up or like guru about it. I hate people who are all guru. She's just like, I just got so like freaked out and depressed and angry. And like when I had that ego split, like I just have never gotten angry since. Like things happen that are not to my liking, but I just don't react with upset. Like she just doesn't.
Yeah, she had a nervous breakdown.
And it's like,
it sounds like something organic happened in her brain. I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing.
Well, she's having a good time. I mean, then we get into a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Who's really fucking crazy in our culture? And like, what about these people with schizophrenia? And like, if somebody's in a mental hospital and like they think they're the Messiah, like how do we know they're not? You know, all that shit.
Yeah.
It's a big fucking question. And I just think it's really good that everybody's finally thinking about this stuff.
You know, the best thing about this stuff is really when it comes right down to it, is if you do it, it can make you more comfortable with the idea of death. And just like any other religion, I think
human.
Right, I think that's what it comes down to, and that's the foundation of the stuff that Eckhart Tolle talks about. It's really about, you know, death isn't what you think it is, you know, and that's why all these that's why these people seek things, I think, in a way that's really the mother of all neuroses is the fear of death. I mean, how could it not be?
Well, in the neurotic sense. Yeah, in the neurotic sense, what's scared of dying isn't like your true essential spirit, like that true core of you. Mm-hmm. Your ego is what's afraid of dying. get it? So that's how all these problems come. Because when you start to find stillness and find peace, of course your ego is going to go, well, what about this? Worry about this. Worry about this. What about this thing? Because your ego is what's afraid of death.
Yeah. But your ego is still part of you.
You know? Yes.
And that's what I find paradoxical about a lot of this stuff is they tell you, you know, that's one of the first things in The Power of Now is he says, you know, the separation of self into like two different selves so you can blame, you know, your laziness on somebody, you know, the fact that you're lazy when it's all just one person, you know, the separation of self. But then the whole book goes on to, you know, explain how there's all these different selves. I find it kind of paradoxical. You know, so you have all these selves, but they're still all you, right? I mean, they're part of you.
That part of you that wants to, like, identify you and be like, I'm me, this is me.
Yeah.
The ego's part of me, right? That's your ego saying that.
Right, but the ego wants to be all of you instead of just part of the what you're observing.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it wants to make sure, it doesn't care, like, it wants to make sure that you're never going to forget. So if in one moment it's better to say it's all of you, it'll say that. And if another moment it's better to say it's just part of all these things that make you up, it'll say that. Because it just wants to, it's like a little kid that is afraid that if it's abandoned, it will die. It's like, it really is the same thing we think of when we think of inner child and like all that stuff from the 80s. Because a child, a human child, unlike most animal children, will die without an adult to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you leave a baby wolf in the forest, it can make it on its own, you know? But human babies, we're fucked without some grown-ups to take care of us. We're just going to die. That's just it, you know?
And
so that is like it's imprinted on your like essence of who you are. It's why we invent a god, because we want a big grown up in the sky. I mean, not that there's not a god, but like the typical Western religious concept of God in the sky, you know, because that ego, that part of you that wants to keep saying, I'm me, I exist, is very much a child. It's a childlike thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that child is afraid that if it is not attended to, it will die. And while that was true when you were 6 months old, it's not true anymore.
Hmm.
There's nothing, what I'm saying is these fears that come up, these fears of like, but isn't that ego me? Isn't the ego part of me? And if I let go of that, do I exist and all that stuff? It's just your ego setting up little mind fucks for yourself. And, like, you're not going to disappear. And I know you're like, fuck you, Rachel. I'm not really worried I'm going to disappear. But that fear of death feeling is really your ego's afraid of ego death.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't believe your inner consciousness, whether you believe in God from any perspective, that inner core of you, whether it thinks you're going to rot in the ground with the worms, or it thinks you're going to become one with the universe, or it thinks you're going to be reincarnated, or it thinks you're going to go to heaven, whatever the fuck it thinks, it's not scared of bodily death.
Right.
Your ego is afraid of it. Your ego is afraid of ego death.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sees the potential for death on an airplane, walking down the street, in a car, bad guys, anywhere.
But the ego is, I mean, that's who I am, though.
No, it's not.
I mean, if you have to separate me, you separate me from the fear of death, you don't have a human being, at least from where I'm thinking right now. That's not a human being. That's part of the universe.
That's not true.
You have a part of the universe. You have the same thing.
No, there are.
Huh? What?
There are human beings that are not living in fear of death. There are. It's natural to be afraid of death, and it is what connects all humans, that we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not what makes you human, is your fear of death. No.
Well, maybe not fear of death, but the denial. I think what you're expressing is somewhat of a denial of death. You know? Bodily death. You're saying that...
No, because that's why I gave all those different examples. Like.
Uh-huh. Like
it doesn't really matter what you think. That's why I said you might think that you float on a cloud up to heaven. You might think you're reincarnated. You might think you just rot at earth. It doesn't really matter.
Why not?
what spiritual, because, I mean, you could just, people just could believe whatever they believe about it. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter for my point, which is what's afraid of death is the ego, not the true essential core you.
Okay, so what happens when you die?
I don't fucking know. That's what I'm saying. Could be any of those things.
So why?
I'm hoping that when I die, I get to be successful at least. Like, so hang out with Otis Redding, maybe. Let's do a high five with Otis. I don't know.
Let's just say that consciousness is the observer that observes the ego, that observes the thoughts, that often is in what Eckhart Tolle would call in an unconscious state that is sort of lies dormant. That observer is true consciousness. Would you agree with that?
Right.
Okay. Now, if that goes on, and I think that's what a lot of these people are postulating.
Let's just say, for me, I was... Okay,
If the observer goes on, the ego dies.
I would lies dormant, but I would say just...
Now, forget about that. That doesn't matter. What I'm talking about is the fact that we exist, we agree on this universal, that this real consciousness or whatever, the observer being true consciousness. Mm-hmm. So if you die, and the ego dies with it, and let's just say the observer, the consciousness, which is the true you, is still there. My question is, what is it observing after death?
Well, I have to die to let you know.
Okay.
I mean, that's like you said, that's why we have all these different religions and people write songs and poems and do dances and everything.
Okay. No, I can live with that. That makes sense.
Here, I'll tell you this last thing because then I got to go. Yeah. I mean, if we knew that, we would just, that's my point. We'd just all be like laying around like blobs of jello in the sun and just wait to die, you know, just whatever. Which I think of doing sometimes, actually. So maybe I really am evolved. But
I just got hungry when you said jello. I don't know.
What? I know, me too, actually. That's fucked up. I did too, and that's fucked up. I said, I'm starving now that I said that. Listen, according to Kabbalah, and then I got to go because Chris has a Reiki session. I got to get out of here so I can let him get Zen. I love this. Now, when I say Kabbalah, just to be perfectly clear, I'm talking about like, actual, Madonna. Like, you know, no.
Just go ahead and explain it. You don't have to explain what you mean. Just explain it.
Jewish wisdom.
Yeah.
Well, one of the lines of thinking is that there's this whole spectrum of like knowledge and understanding and clarity and insight if you were in your pure state of consciousness, okay, that you could have without all these barriers you just were discussing.
Right.
And you're like this thing floating in this universe thing of goodness, whatever the fuck it is, we don't know.
Yeah.
The choice to be born into a human form is the choice to narrow that spectrum, like narrow it down to like this little degree of it in this solid material world where we are flesh and blood. We're solid, even though it's true. If you look at small enough, it's just energy vibrating, but we experience it as a solid world with a fleshly body where we have time as this temporal thing that exists and something's now and then something's in the future, you know. And we have chosen to come into this reality and be born into this where we had this full understanding that you're expressing a desire for, this consciousness, what would it be like? We've actually chosen to narrow it down to this very small slice of the pie to experience this material world. All of us humans.
You're saying we made a choice before birth to do that.
I'm saying according to this Kabbalah theory.
No, I understand it's according to Kabbalah.
Not me.
No, I get that. But so, according to Kabbalah, let's just say, before death, there's no separation. So it's just one consciousness, basically. So how is it that you separate birth? Out? I mean, like one part of this?
Before birth?
I don't get it. Yeah. Before birth, I meant. Yeah.
It's like this. Okay, let's say I can explain it more like this. Let's say you're like walking through air. Air creates hardly any drag on you. You're just walking and you're just bouncy and free and walking along. You've got gravity working on you, but like really that's it. It's easy to move through the air.
Bye.
Okay. And then somebody's like, I'm going to fill a hot tub. This is gross, but it'll make my point. I'm going to fill a hot tub with peanut butter, okay? I'm getting really hungry now. And we're all going to jump in the hot tub of peanut butter, and it's, like, really thick, and it's harder to move through, but, like, it'll be kind of fun and weird to see what it feels like, and, like, you'll get stronger muscles from trying to move through it, and it'll just give you this new appreciation for what it will be like to be in the air. See what I mean?
Mm-mm.
Okay, another example is this. And then I'll give you two more, and then I gotta go. I'm sure you've heard examples like this before. Like, being in this human life is like going on a roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get on a roller coaster, unless there's a freak accident, you're probably gonna survive. You know what I mean? Like, it's scary, and you go on these loop-de-loops. But unless barring some freak accident, you're gonna be scared as if you're gonna fall and die. But really, you're safe the whole time. Right. You have all these crazy experiences, and you get through this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get off of it, and you go, "Whoa, what a crazy thing!" I mean, that's like choosing human life. You're choosing to be strapped to this thing. You have less power, and you're buffeted, and you go up and down, and have all these things. But the true essential you is going to exist after the ride, just like it did when it chose to get on the ride. An even better example, this is like straight from Esther Hicks, is this. Let's say you plan a vacation, okay? So you go, okay, we're going to go on this vacation. It's going to be fabulous. We're going to go, you know, to Hawaii, and then we'll go to Tahiti, and then we'll go to Australia, and then we'll fly back home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at that, and you go, okay, what's your ultimate destination of that trip? Where's your final destination?
Home.
Right. So why bother going on the trip? Like, you've already reached your destination. You're already home. Why would you go to Hawaii and then Tahiti if your goal is home?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you go? For the fucking fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's what it's like to be in this human form. Like, we chose, it's like we go, well, why aren't I just at my goal? Well, you know what? Even though it seems like hell and it seems not fun, I do believe, I want to believe that once we die, we look back with this, like, loving, gentle witness that can see it like a little kid on a roller coaster or a little kid on a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we plan vacations all the time knowing our ultimate destination is home, but we went for the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see new things and mix it up and meet different people and taste different food and decide what we do like and decide what we don't like and then be like, I like this, so I'm going to have more of this.
Huh, okay.
And that's exquisite. Like, that's okay. Beautiful. You know?
All right. Do you have any music to end with or no?
Not really. I'll send you a Rachel track.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Was that a good show?
It's not up to me to figure that out.
Listen, I know it's about to be your time, your worry time there. So
yeah, it is.
I hope you'll think about this stuff we've talked about.
Well, I've got Kundalini in an hour and a half,
so I'm
kind of jazzed about that. So that'll be good.
Perfect.
So it's just an hour and a half of worry time.
But if you start to think about that, just let yourself feel, live in joy.
Okay,
believe me, I know it's easier said than done. I almost slip my wrist every fucking day. But, like, that's why I have to work so hard at this, because, like, I got the suicide gene. So that's why I study this stuff so hard, you know?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I was in a yoga class, and I have to end with this too, but I was in a yoga class, and there was a new person, you know, and this was a while ago. And the teacher said, is there anybody new? And the guy's like, yeah. And then she's like, later on, is there any injuries? He said, yeah, I'm fucked up in the head. She said, well, that's why you're in yoga. We're all like that.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
That one. It's interesting.
Okay. Did he really say fucked up?
No. I'm paraphrasing, but basically, yeah. Yeah.
But that would be awesome.
Yeah. But it was
anyway,
close to
so
that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Okay, well, are we on for next week at the usual time or what?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. All right, see you next week then. Send me that song.
This was a very intense show. I think this was fucking intense.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to go now, and
goodbye.
Bye.
I don't even have a choice. Why do you think God gave me this voice? Just to make random noise? See, even though I've always known, the more I write, the more I realize The words aren't even mine. I am just a channel for those outside of time to use to travel through if they so choose. And so often they do. See, I speak to you, but they convey the message, which I have forsworn not to misconstrue. I am an internal shapeshifter, eternal uplifter. Whether you see it as a gift or a curse makes no difference, for better or worse. That's what I was put on earth to do. Now, here's what I remember about heaven, or the next level, or the netherworld, or whatever name you prefer. Before we get to earth, before we arrive alive through the tunnel of our mother to our birth, we're hanging out in that other place, and we decide our own fate. See, we're hanging out with God, or the universal consciousness, or the creator, or whatever you prefer to name her. And we decide the paths and challenges of our own lives. But check it out. It all seems really groovy from up there. I mean, it's just like watching a movie from up there. See, there's lessons we're sent to this planet to learn, and God lets us plan it on our own terms. And sometimes God will even say things to us like, "Me damn, you sure you can handle it all?" And we're all cocky like we stand 50 feet tall, strong, can conquer any wall, because up there we know we can never truly fall except into the arms of our Creator. Because remember, we got to state our terms. But here's why it burns. Here's the bitter eternal truth, the worm inside Eve's fruit. Once we get to Earth, we have to start at birth anew as helpless, bumbling humans. We can't remember the plan, understand? See, that's part of the lesson. Our memories are stripped clean. See what I mean? God has to keep us guessing once we get here so that when we experience what we chose, it's crystal clear. We can't be exposed to the before, or else in our mortal bodies, we might not walk through any door. So now you know the score. Whether you are here as a queen or a whore, when you think things can't get any worse and it seems like you're coming apart at the seams, just remember that you're the one who schemed these schemes, and that everything is as it should be and everything's all right. And I am simply here so that you can hear this message tonight, because at the end of it all, what else can you truly say but that which you know to be real because you've seen it with your own two eyes? And that's my word to the WHYs. Thank you.